Resilience isn't about not struggling. Resilience gives us the tools to struggle well.
Dr. Taryn Marie Stayskull is world-renowned and an expert in resilience, mental health, and well-being. If you've listened to our previous podcast with Dr. Taryn Marie, you'll recall her life-changing advice when facing life's three C's: challenge, change, and complexity. It's those three C's that keep us from developing resilience. And as she so eloquently shared with us, we all have the ability to overcome because we all have resilience. Today, Dr. Taryn Marie shares her five practices of highly resilient people. A journey for her which started in the third grade when she was put in the lowest reading group, not knowing she had and not being diagnosed yet with dyslexia. But that event early in her life propelled her to overcome that challenge and then on to the study of resilience. So let's find out about Dr. Taryn Marie's five practices of highly resilient people.
Of those five practices, the first one surprises people, and it's vulnerability. And a lot of people say, hold on a minute, I thought resilience was being unchanged. I thought resilience was being unmoved. But here's something fascinating. There's a pervasive myth about resilience. And the pervasive myth is, we talk about resilience as bouncing back. But bouncing back is actually for like Rubbermaid containers. It's not for humans. Think about a time when you went through a significant challenge or you faced one of those big three C's. You didn't go back to the person that you were before. You were fundamentally and forever changed by that. And my training is in neuropsychology. So if we know anything about neuroplasticity, we know that the cells in our brain, our neurons, are changing. They're rewiring, regrouping, regenerating every single day based on every experience that we have. So we are going to be fundamentally and forever changed down to the cellular level by every experience that we have. And so vulnerability is about allowing ourselves, our inside self, our thoughts, feelings, and experience to, as closely as possible, match the thoughts, feelings, and experience that we share with the outside world. And the closer those are together, that is vulnerability, and it's also congruence. And we allow ourselves to be changed by our experiences. In order to be resilient, we embrace the idea that we actually bounce forward.
After we bounce forward, Dr. Taryn Marie encourages us to embrace the second practice, which is productive perseverance.
Now, productive and perseverance are both important here because a lot of people ask me, do resilient people quit things? They absolutely do. So productive perseverance is the art and the science of knowing when to maintain the mission in the face of challenge. And it's also about being willing to pivot in the face of diminishing returns. I'm 5'11". My mom took me for gymnastics. I was already like a tall kid. I could barely do a somersault. I've never been able to do a cartwheel. And the teachers just pulled my mom aside and they were like, hey, you're probably going to want to take her to do something else because she's just too big for gymnastics. Like, it's just not going to be for her. And I became a competitive swimmer. But if I'd stayed the course and been like, gymnastics, you know, we could see the diminishing returns very early on. And so productive perseverance is about knowing when to maintain the mission in the face of challenge and knowing when to pivot in the face of diminishing returns.
And now, onto the third practice of highly resilient people, connection.
And connection also surprises people because we think, yeah, connection, our relationships, you know, our friends, our family. First and foremost, it's about the connection that we have with ourselves. It's about listening to that still small voice within us. It's about knowing our strengths and our talents and being willing to explore those and then being willing to articulate in a way that people can use those strengths and talents to benefit a team or a project or the world. And then after that deep connection that we have with ourselves, then we layer upon the connections that we have externally. And of course, we know that there's a tug of war sometimes between the connection we have with ourselves, what we know is true and real and best and right, and then what other relationships, our friends, our family are telling us. And that can be anything from peer pressure all the way through to how we articulate what we believe our life purpose is and the sort of the vision that we have for ourselves when that might be different from what other people see for us. And so that's the practice of connection.
The fourth practice refers to a word you may not have heard, gratiosity.
And if you haven't heard that word before, that is okay because I made it up. So gratiosity is a hybrid word that really encapsulates what I was hearing from people. So the most resilient people talked about being able to look on a challenge typically after some time and to find gratitude in it. So that's the gratty part. To be able to say, you know what, I wouldn't do that again. Maybe I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, but I can see the good in that. I'm grateful for what came out of that moment. And then the generosity is the willingness, kind of drawing on that first practice of vulnerability, to share our stories with other people. And that does two things. Sharing our resilient stories, drawing on that vulnerability, it solidifies our own resilience. Like looking back on that challenge when I was in third grade, what was it that allowed me with undiagnosed dyslexia to teach myself to read? Well, I can tell you now because I've told that story. It's discipline and it's believing in what was possible for me, even if I didn't have any evidence at that moment to know that it was true. So retelling that story has solidified my own resilience, but it also gives other people hope. We shine a light through our resilient stories out into the world, and that penetrates other people's darkest moments, and we become a roadmap for them. As Brené Brown says, we become part of someone else's survival guide, and we effectively transmute the darkest times in our life to become a light in the world by retelling those stories of facing challenge.
The final practice of highly resilient people is possibility. To describe this practice, Dr. Taryn Marie recalls the story of one resilient person who never gave up on his possibilities.
One of my favorites is Nelson Mandela. We know him as the South African leader who dismantled apartheid, but very few people actually know about his early years. Nelson Mandela grew up in a tribe that was out living in a rural area. Most of the members of his family were illiterate. He was one that showed a flair for school and began to excel. And he was one of the first people in his family that actually went to college. But he goes to college and he falls in with the students that are wanting to upend the status quo. And so Nelson gets expelled from school. Here he is, the first one in his family to go to college. And after his first year, he's coming home. He's been expelled. On his way home, he gets word that his father is going to have him married. So Nelson doesn't want to get married, so he doesn't go home. And he goes to a large city, and he's homeless for a period of time. And he's working odd jobs, and he's sleeping. Nelson Mandela is sleeping on the street as a homeless person working odd jobs. So like, if I checked in with you when he was 18, 19, 20 years old, and I was like, you know, what kind of promise do we see for this person? You wouldn't be like, I see this person sleeping on the street as someone who's going to dismantle apartheid and be a world leader that we still talk about today. And so what does that tell us? It tells us, one, our beginning does not have to indicate our ending. We can overcome and transcend our origin story. And I think we see that over and over again. The second thing is we are not defined by our mistakes. We do have an opportunity to transcend our mistakes and our moments of learning. And that's not like a get out of jail free card to like, okay, I'm just going to go try everything now. But I think it's also paralyzing to feel like, well, if I take one wrong step to the left or the right, if I don't get into that school, if I don't take that class, if I don't get an honor roll, if I don't letter here or get varsity that, and it's like, there's a lot of pressure on us. And I don't think we can ruin our life. So I think we can transcend our origin story. I think our mistakes and lessons don't need to define us. And the third one is a lot of times the things that we learn at our lowest points are the skills and strengths that we need to put to work at our highest points. And Nelson Mandela talked about those early years of getting expelled from school, of living on the street. Those things shaped and formed him and gave him the tenacity to be able to face larger and larger challenges that emerged in his life later on.
So there you have it, the five practices of highly resilient people. Number one, vulnerability, allowing our inside selves to match our outside selves. Number two, productive perseverance, intelligent pursuit of a goal, knowing when to pivot. Number three, connection with others, but mostly with ourselves. Number four, grandiosity, facing challenges with gratitude for what we can learn. And number five, possibility, focusing on progress over perfection. The great news is we can all strengthen our resilience. And as we exercise these practices, our resilience will grow and grow, giving us stronger mental health, more meaningful relationships, and greater overall happiness. And now, armed with your increased resilience, pass it on from passiton.com. If you enjoyed this bite-sized podcast, subscribe and pass it on to a friend. Pass It On the podcast is available on your favorite platform.